All right. Happy Father's Day, everybody. All the dads. I should have sent out a memo or something. Told y'all to embrace the vibe of Father's Day with the Hawaiian shirts and all that. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing today. A couple of announcements. Oh yeah. Thank you. A couple of announcements. This evening, no evening service, because we're going to be eating ice cream at Tammy and Tony's house. So this evening is sandwiches, chips, dinner, ice cream at Tammy and Tony's house at 5 o'clock. So that is this evening. And VBS begins tomorrow, 6 o'clock. I think it's all decorated. It's all prepared. There may be a couple other things we got to do before that, but I know lots of work has already gone into that. But let's see, what else we got? Oh, I gotta give away some Father's Day gifts. If you're a dad, come on up here. I know a lot of them are out of town today, but if you're here and you're a dad, come on up here. Because we're going to give you a gift. I'll have to set some aside for the guys that aren't here. Just pass them out. Take one for each of your generation. Sony. All right, you guys stand together. We're going to get a picture up there. I guess, Ben, are you taking the picture? Okay. Here, I'm going to stand down here. Okay, here we go. It's up there in the balcony. Balcony. It's in the balcony. Got it? All right. Well, let me pray for you guys before we sit down. Let's do that. All right, Father, thank you for our dads. Thank you for these men. Thank you for their families. I pray you'd help us, guide us, direct us, and to be better dads or grandpas or great-grandpas, and guide us from your words and all of that. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I guess you can stay up here, Tony. So the next agenda item, you gonna help Ben? We'll take up the offering. All right, Tony, you wanna pray for us? Amen. All right, this morning we are in 1 Thessalonians, and there's a little, I don't usually do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way this morning. There's a verse in here that deals with ministry from a father's perspective, and Paul sort of associates his ministry with the Thessalonians to the ministry of a father. And, you know, when you read the Bible, just you understand a lot of things that have become questions in the culture are not questions in the Bible. They're not, they really weren't questions, well, they weren't questions many years ago like they are now, questions about social roles or I guess identities. That's the big thing now, is identities. And so a lot of the identities, you know, of a father or a man or a woman or a mother are kind of just assumed that it's pretty clear these are biological things, and they're not imaginary things. They're not constructed in the mind. They're actual real roles. And so that's sort of assumed. And so when Paul explains what he's doing with the Thessalonians and how he's ministering, and a lot of his ministry, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, really verse 11 is the verse that we'll look at. And it gives you three characteristics of, I would say, fatherhood, but also ministry as fatherhood, as a father. And so this is the verse that we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11. Like I said, I don't like just taking one verse out of this whole thing. But this is what we're going to deal with this morning. I think we can sufficiently explain all of it. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." There's three things that Paul likened his ministry to fatherhood. And he said, there's exhortation, there's comfort, and there's a charge. There's kind of a direction to go in. And so with these things, this is what we'll talk about this morning in honor of Father's Day, how these things relate to ministry, and really, when you think about it, the home is the training ground for ministry. I mean, you learn so much of relationships and caretaking and shepherding hearts and things like that from the relationships that begin at home. And unfortunately, where you've come and where we are in a lot of our culture is homes are not, they're not fully developed homes. They don't have all of the parts and don't have all the components to them. And I understand tragedy can change that, and death and things like that change that. But a lot of times it's just people pursuing their own desires, and they break up homes and make home not really a place where God can illustrate anything. He can't really point to the home and say, you know, it looked like, look at this, and this is what it should look like. And so that's unfortunate, but that's where we are in a lot of ways now. But Paul relates three aspects of the ministry, and as we said, exhortation, comfort, and a charge there. So that's what we'll deal with this morning. The first thing he deals with, he says, when I went to you guys, when I write to you, when I'm trying to help you, the situation with the Thessalonian church is they are heavily persecuted. Some of them are in jail for what they believe. And so Paul tries to encourage them. He's really trying to egg them on, urge them on to do right and to continue to do right. And in the face of this persecution that they're facing. And so you'll read a lot about that in the second letter to the Thessalonians. But exhortation, you think of it this way, just as a definition. But you guys probably like going to your kids' sports games. You probably enjoy, maybe it's not sports, maybe it's something else they do that they enjoy. But you want to encourage them. You like to, I know going to sports games and sitting in the stands, and you sometimes yell from the stands and you're ready to to encourage your kids or even other kids out on the field, but that's exhortation. That's trying to support and trying to push on and encourage from a distance, a little bit of a distance. But exhortation is that. It's a sort of this spirited strength. It's you want to give someone a push. I mean, you just want to. You're there to help, to support, to encourage them in what they're doing. So that's sort of what exhortation is. It's to excite. It's to give them strength. It's, you know, spirit. It's all of those things. And so when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he understands he's writing to a group of folks that are maybe kind of down. I mean, they've a couple of them, like I said, are in jail. There's a lot of persecution where they are, and he's trying to encourage them to continue to do the right things. Try to encourage them in Jesus Christ. Try to encourage them to be Christians and where they are. So you take what you understand about exhortation. You take that idea, that thought of rooting on your children from maybe it's a sports event, maybe it's something else. You want to root them on. You want to push them on. You want to give them some spirit. I mean, you want to do those things. And so take that idea and apply that to ministry. And in Christianity, this is what Christians are supposed to be doing for each other, to encourage people to do each other, encourage us to do the right things, encourage us in Jesus Christ, encourage us in walking in Jesus Christ, encourage how do you say the right things, but you want to give some support to what's right. And so this is how Paul relates it. I exhorted you. I was trying to give you the support that you need. But when I think about all of that, I think sometimes of a culture and even Christianity that is not familiar enough with serving God or what it's supposed to look like to be a support where you need to be a support. I don't want to be down on us this morning, but I want us to think about this a little bit, that maybe we need to be a little bit more familiar with what serving God looks like. I heard this the other day, and it's basically true, but you can't be a Christian with pocket change and spare time. They applied it to church, like you can't run a church with pocket change and spare time. But I would say Christianity isn't something that's built on spare change and spare time. It's something that's done on purpose. It's something that requires us to be familiar with what Jesus, who he is. What is he talking about? That's why I spend so much time trying to explain a lot of the things that he says, because we have a very, I don't know, a very, our own sort of Western, maybe just American 21st century view of things that he said, and studying these things out and learning what is he talking about. I mean, you can really boil a lot of it down to love your neighbor, love God, and that sort of sets the tone for everything. But what does that look like? What is it supposed to look like? How am I supposed to love my neighbor? How am I supposed to love God in this situation? And that's where Christianity, it's very, I think Jake said it the other day, and it was a really good statement, but Christianity is not, it's not this, the principles are not all that expansive. I mean, it's not wide, but it's very deep. It goes very deep down. And it deals with, you get a couple of principles down, and it helps you understand how to be a mom, how to be a dad, how to be an employee, how to be a citizen of a country, of a city, of a state. And it guides you in all those things with these principles. And so what I'm saying is, I think
it's time we get a little bit more familiar with what are the principles. What are we supposed to be doing? Because if Paul understands enough about what he's supposed to be doing and what the Thessalonians are needing encouragement in, and so when he writes to them, when he's there and teaching them, he's giving them the things that they need because he understands it. And sometimes I think our Christianity is a little bit far removed from that. I don't even necessarily understand what the direction is. Where does that come from? It's just not familiar with what we're saying we're trusting in. So exhortation, I say that, but back to the positive side, exhortation, this is part of ministry. This is part of fatherhood. It's encouraging. It's support. It's spirited excitement about moving folks on that you love to do the right things. And so Paul says, I was there. I exhorted you. I was encouraging to you. There is honestly, really, and you guys understand it, there's enough discouragement in the world. There's enough discouragement around us that it's needed in Christian circles. We need encouragement. Everybody, every one of us needs encouragement. It's not dependent on one person. That's Christianity. We all need it. Second thing he says is, I exhorted you and then I comforted you like a father does. Comfort, to provide comfort. Not to say that moms don't provide comfort. Moms provide comfort, but fathers provide comfort. I read this story. It's been a few years, but I may have even used it before. But there was this, I think he was 8 years old, and little boy in the hospital bed. And he's dying of cancer, and news is not good. He doesn't really have long to live. And his mom and dad are in the room, and they're visiting and all that. And the young boy understands that he doesn't have long to live. And so he asks his dad, he says, Dad, how much longer do I have to live? And of course, the dad is, it's this and that. But ultimately, he says, well, are you afraid to die? Is that what it is? And he's trying to be comforting with him. And the boy says, well, if God is anything like you are, no, not afraid. If God is anything like you are, that's comfort. And you'll read that in Thessalonians. Paul over and over refers to hope, future in Jesus Christ. And he refers to this a time when sin is gone. There's no more sin. There's no more loss. There's no more grief. That's comfort. But that's something he relates to fatherhood. You provide comfort. It's like the stable source of rest. Something you can just rely on. I think maybe sometimes we just, it's things we take for granted, that you have a place of rest, that you have a home, that you have maybe some of us do, maybe others, you feel the pain of not having that. What fatherhood, one of the ministries of fatherhood is comfort. It's comfort. I remember, when Jesus Christ goes away, when he dies on the cross, or right before he dies on the cross, one of the things he says to the disciples is, I'm going to send you a comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and he's already speaking the scriptures and things like that and preaching and things like that. But he says, I'm going to basically pour out my spirit in the form of these words are going to be preached everywhere. And he says, I'm going to send you the comforter, another comforter. And that tells you and me a little bit about what Christianity is going to be. If the thing that you and I need as Christians in this life is a comforter, then that tells you a little bit about what a Christian life is going to be like here. He didn't need to send a farmer. I mean, yeah, you got to have groceries and food. He's not saying I'm going to send you a farmer. Or I'm going to send you a financial analyst. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And that tells you and me, that's something we need. That's something that we have to have in this life. Is, I understand comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, but comfort is necessary. It's this stable source of peace. You know, some of you have things that are called comforters. You know, and you blankies or whatever, but you have a comforter. And it's relaxing and it's helpful. It gives you some solace. It gives you some peace. And when Paul says, look, I exhorted you and I comforted you. And he'll say that over and over. It's like, comfort each other with these words. What is that? And he relates that to a dad. This is one of dad's roles, to be a comfort, to be a help, to provide some stable source of rest. I don't know, when I think about comfort, I also think of this as, I know, I think back in when the kids are younger and all that, and unfortunately, if you're a pastor's kid, you get a little bit of use from the pulpit here, but I don't do it often. But I look back and I think about some of the times where I was not a comforting source in the house. And hopefully that's changed over time. But Ben and I were working on this project yesterday, and we were kind of making a joke about it, about, you know, dads are pretty easy to get mad when they're working on a project and it's just not working out the way it's supposed to work out. And so we're kind of making jokes about, you know, you're going to get mad or whatever. I think, and I said this, I thought, I feel like I'm kind of past that stage where you just, it's just, these things aren't that important. Some of these things just aren't that important. And your real job is to be a comfort, to be supportive, to be a place where people have rest, to be a place where your kids and your family can relax. And this is what the Holy Spirit does for Christians. This is the comfort of Christianity, and this is the ministry of the fatherhood. So comforting, this is what Paul says. He comforted the people. Along those lines, I think of a friend that years ago, she got out of church, and she had said that within her family, the expectations were so, put it this way, the expectations were such that she never felt like she could do the right thing. And that's not good. That's not good. If people can't feel like they're doing right, even when they're trying to do the right thing. So what she ended up doing was, she just embraced the wrong thing. And her explanation of it, it was, well, if you don't think I'm ever going to do the right thing, then I won't. And for a while, she just went off into her own world, lived her own life, and sowed a bunch of regrets. But all that kind of starts with, I don't have these realistic, hopeful expectations in my life from the people that I care about. And so if I don't have any of that, why should I live any certain way? And so, now she's back in church and stable and things like that. But I think about some of these stories, 'cause that's not the only one, you know, that I'm familiar with. But when there's a lack of, when expectations can be a source of comfort, proper expectations. I mean, when Paul talks to the Thessalonians and he says, look, there's a future in Jesus Christ, and it's a hopeful future, and it's a future without sin. That's an expectation, but that's a real expectation. That's a real expectation. Sometimes we set these expectations that are just absolutely ridiculous. And I think, I mean, you could maybe say 50% of the cause of people, particularly children and teenagers and things like that, you know, people like that, they flee the expectations because the expectations aren't real, not realistic. Comfort is part of all of that. Comfort, being supportive, that's an exhortation, and then being a safe place to rest. And Paul says, look, I comforted you, I exhorted you, I comforted you, I gave you some realistic hope, realistic opportunity there. And the third thing he says is he charged them. And when I read the word charge or think about it, I think about a cavalry. I think about some commander in a cavalry yelling charge, you know, and going forward. And what the point is he's giving some direction to the motion of the army. He's setting forth a direction. So a charge is like an instruction or it's an example. It's movement in a certain way. And I mean, that's what I think about when I think of that word charge. Paul said he said every one of you as a father doth his children. And children, just like Christians, we need to be given directions to move in. But I'll say this about directions. I think most of the directions that people need to be given are not physical directions like you need to go do this or you need to go do that. They're heart directions. And they deal with, okay, as a parent, and if you're a parent, you observe these things in your children. And you notice that if your son or your daughter has, I don't know, they encounter an obstacle in life or something, just say it this way, they encounter some obstacle in life, and you notice that when they butt heads with somebody, they internalize it, they start getting bitter, and you notice this as a parent. You watch them process through these troublesome times in their lives. And so you understand this is the motion of the heart. When it gets hurt, it does this. So as a dad, as a shepherd, as someone who oversees, even mom, but you observe these things in your kids' lives, and you observe these things as a pastor in people's lives, that their heart moves in a certain direction when certain things happen. And so the direction that is the most profitable seems to be, and when I think about it, I think about what Jesus said about the law, but I'll get to that in a second. But it seems to be the directions of the heart. I don't need to say, hey, on Saturday, you need to go pass out tracts or something. Or whatever the case is. Maybe that can be a good thing. But more often, I see when we fail and when we have trouble, it's because the heart got sunk into some mire that it shouldn't have got sunk into. Just like Solomon would say, in Proverbs, he'd say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is the thing to keep. This is the thing to make sure is right. when Jesus Christ talks about the law, and he's asked by this lawyer, and he says, if you could boil it all down, what law do I need to keep that would really say, okay, I kept the law? And what's the response? Jesus says, the whole thing can be summed up into two things that are matters of the heart. You love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And so those two things on that hinge the whole law. Everything is tied to this. And so that means out of this springs everything else. So when we talk about charging, when Paul talks about charging the Thessalonians, he's not talking about necessarily giving them some, you know, physical schedule to keep. He's describing things that need to be addressed in their hearts. Things that either need to be comforted, things that need to be helped, things that need to be avoided. He'll talk about busybodies. He'll talk about, folks that aren't working. They're lazy. And these are matters of the heart. So a charge, I mean, it's I think of it, you know, in terms of just this physical direction of this army. But when I really think about what's being charged in Thessalonians from Paul as Christians, as parents, the matters of the heart are the most important things. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life, is what Solomon said. You know, you as a parent, you notice how your child's heart responds to things. I mean, I think you notice. I think you, most of you do, because that's what you try to pay attention to. And those are the issues that have to be given guidance and directed and helped, and just the hard issues. So often when I read the New Testament and I read what Jesus Christ is preaching, when he shows up, you got Matthew, he goes through the birth, he deals with genealogy, and he gets right into the preaching of Jesus Christ. And the preaching of Jesus Christ is so directed to the heart. He'd say, you know, you've heard it said that you shouldn't commit murder. Well, yeah, we've heard that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're angry with your brother without a cause, that's a problem in your heart. That's something that needs to be addressed. We're not going to wait till you murder somebody. We're going to address the bitterness. We're going to address the trouble in your heart right now. If he talks about, you know, giving and praying and people doing it to be seen of people. And then he says, look, you need, if you believe that God is your Father, go in your closet where nobody sees you and pray. And then the Father, which is in heaven, will see you in secret and reward you openly. The problem is your heart's messed up. Your heart is you're trying to make a show to people about your spirituality. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, that's not it. If you want to address matters of the heart, go in secret. Do these things in secret where nobody sees you. It's just between you and God. And this is just yet another example of how he addresses the heart so many times in these sermons. To charge, to walk worthy, that's what Paul says in Thessalonians. He charged them and gave the heart of the people direction. That's being a dad. That can be ministry. That can be Christianity. But those three things, you know, Paul will do all three of these: exhort, charge, comfort. He'll do all three of these things in this letter. This particular letter to the congregation as they go through this great tribulation and, just persecution that they're enduring. But what he does is very, very neat in that he ties the ministry and his ministry to this group of this congregation. And he says, I do these things like a father does to his children and does for his children. I'm encouraging you. I'm trying to support you. I'm giving you comfort, some reasonable expectations, a place of rest and hope. I give you these things. I'm teaching you about these things. And then I'm charging them. I'm setting some guidelines for the heart. And this is what you could say ministry and fatherhood have in common. These three things for sure. I mean, you could probably find other things, but these three things for sure. These are definite characteristics of a father, and they're definite characteristics of the ministry of Christianity itself. And so with those things, just reflect, let's reflect on this. Let's think about these things. Think about fatherhood. God created these relationships. And so these things all have their similarities with Christianity, with the relationships. And so think about these things. And if you're a dad, I mean, honestly, it applies to all of us as Christians. It applies to all Christians. But these three things, exhortation, comfort, charge, these are certainly fatherly characteristics, as they are certainly characteristics of Christians. So I hope that's helpful. Let you guys go a little bit early this morning. And see you this evening for ice cream and sandwiches at Tammy and Tony's. So enjoy your afternoon, enjoy your Father's Day, enjoy your families. Let's pray, and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time. Together, thank you for each soul that's here this morning. I pray that you would help us apply these things that need to be applied. Help us learn what we need to learn in all of this. Help us with our relationship with you. As Christians and folks who want to serve the Lord, I pray that you would give us some, I don't know, some real concrete things through this about what our lives can, how we can embrace eternal life like this. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.